All right, very good. Well, this morning we looked at angels in the Old Testament, and tonight we're going to look at angels in the New Testament, and I want you to think about some things. We have angels around us right now. Angel, we may not see them, or that angel, and this thought went through my mind this week because I knew what I was going to be preaching about today. I got behind a car out on Dorchester Road. I had dropped Gabriel off at school, and I was coming back to the church. That car was in the left lane. It was doing 35 miles an hour. Now, as I remember, that's a 50-mile-an-hour speed zone. And that's mine. Let me silence that. I forgot. I thought, do I blow the horn at him, or do I go around him on the right, or do I just stay here in this lane? And I got to thinking, it's probably some old person. And then I got to thinking, maybe it's an angel and God is keeping me from getting into an accident because I will not be at the intersection at the proper time. God does have angels around us. We will never know till we get to heaven just exactly all the things that he is doing for us and with angels. So this morning we looked at the Old Testament as to how God used angels as messengers to accomplish great feats. And God used angels to build up and he used angels to destroy. He used angels for many different purposes, but you might say, but that was the Old Testament. And you would be right. This evening we're going to look at how God used angels in the New Testament. He still is using angels to accomplish his will on this earth. They are here. They are being involved in our lives. So don't be so quick to respond. Who wants to mug an angel? You know, who wants to fuss at an angel? So we're going to look at the New Testament and see what God uses angels for in the New Testament. And the first mention of angels in the New Testament is in the book of Matthew. And it involves Joseph and Mary. It's not when the angel Gabriel went to Mary. By the time this angel appears, Mary has already had an encounter with an angel who told her about her having Jesus. That's recorded in Luke 1, 26 through 38. But this is going to be Matthew 1, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 20. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, there he is again, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, when it says that Joseph was willing to put her away privily or privately, that means that she would not have been stoned to death, because that was the penalty for a single girl to get pregnant with a child. And so while he was thinking of how he could do that quietly and she would not have been stoned to death, it says the angel came to him in a dream. And he spoke to him, telling him that this child that Mary was going to have was of the Holy Ghost, and it was okay, they were to be married. So Mary and Joseph were not finished with angels yet as messengers of God. in Matthew 2:13, God used an angel of the Lord to warn Joseph to take Mary and the child to Egypt for their safety. Then after Herod was dead, the angel of the Lord told him that it was okay to go back to Nazareth and live. So you see, God was using angels in their life. And as we look at angels in the New Testament, we'll see that God used angels with regard to Mary and Joseph as messengers. Angels were involved with Jesus for most of his lifetime. An angel was used to message Zacharias and Elizabeth about John the Baptist. And let's look at this particular issue in Luke chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. Luke chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him, because there was a tradition that had been passed among the priests that if a priest entered the Holy of Holies with sin in their life, a sin that was unatoned for, they would be struck dead. For that reason, they tied a rope around the priest's ankle so they could pull him out. And that's why they had the bells around the bottom of their robes, was so that they could hear them, that they were moving about. When those bells stopped and a long time passed, then they tugged on the rope. Okay. So he was afraid. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak to thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. And because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." So Zacharias was struck dumb. So angels have the power to alter our human bodies. They can cause, you will see in a while here, they can cause some pretty ugly things to happen for the glory of God. So we've already seen how an angel named Gabriel was used of God to communicate with several people. Had anyone other than an angel tried to deliver the message, they probably would not have been believed by Joseph or by Zacharias. Zacharias didn't believe him, that he could have a child when he was old. But it took an angel to deliver these messages for them to be believed. And there are things God could tell you. And unless it was an angel who was telling you, you probably wouldn't believe him anyway. So God had to send an angel to get his message across to the people involved. They would have had no reason to believe anyone else. Evidently, angels could be very persuasive. They could be very convincing when they spoke to humans. I know that the one time an angel spoke to me and one of my friends, we were convinced that what he said was absolutely true, and we acted upon it. So there is something about when an angel speaks to you that you just know that it is the truth, no matter what you've been thinking before, no matter what you've been doing before. You know at that point when that person, that angel, speaks to you, that he is telling you the truth. You have a choice. But I don't feel that we had a choice. We went ahead and did what he told us we had to do. Now, there are some things that we need to determine about angels in general. Angels are not subject to the laws of nature. Angels, we talked about that this morning, angels also have miraculous powers given to them by God. They're not created with those powers, but God gives them those powers when they're needed. There's a story in John chapter 5 that will demonstrate this. John 5, 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, of waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew what he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. Isn't it interesting that an angel troubled the waters for all these years? He would come on the same day and trouble the waters, and whoever got in there first would be healed. Rather than Jesus doing it, or you know, some other thing. I just think that is so interesting that God would use an angel to do that, to make it possible for people to be healed. Now, Jesus bypassed the angel in the case of this man, and he did the same work in this man that had been waiting for 38 years to be healed. This would indicate that Jesus was more powerful than the angels. Jesus healed many different kinds of diseases during the time of his ministry. God tells us directly that there are no angels that God told to sit by him while he makes enemies his footstool. God is going to do that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the New Testament, God used angels in several deliveries from bondage, and we'll look at them. The first one was Peter and John. I do want you to notice that the angel was careful to tidy up after he got his job done. Okay? Acts 5, verses 17 through 26. Acts 5, verses 17 through 26. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. I want you to notice this. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety." The doors had been locked again. He had opened the doors, led them out, and then he went back and locked all those doors. And the keepers standing without before the doors, the keepers did not see the angels. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. Normally they would have gone in and beaten them up and dragged them again back before the council, but they were afraid, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. I wondered what the men did once the angels let them out of the prison. Waiting for the temple time to open. I wonder if they discussed what had just taken place. We normally don't. Normally we don't. We're told that the angel opened the prison doors, but when the guards sought the men, the doors were all locked. The angel must have closed the doors and relocked them. How strange that must have seemed to Peter and John. Their escape also brought them much respect from the guards, because they did not abuse them as they took them back into the council. Remember that angels' main job is to deliver messages, and occasionally the angel is not able to do all that he needs doing, so the Holy Spirit of God needs to get involved too. Acts chapter 8 is a good example of this. So let's go to Acts chapter 8 and look at another way that the angels can be involved. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Do you notice? It was the angel of the Lord that came and told Philip he was to go south to where he would meet that Ethiopian eunuch. And he met him. But from this point on, the angel is not involved, but the Holy Spirit of God is involved. So there are things that angels cannot do. Verse 29 says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot." So we are not to follow angels. We are not to worship angels. We are to obey them. And then God takes over himself through his Holy Spirit. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began this same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the angel answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So God uses angels for getting messages out to the people. He may do that in your life. And then he also uses his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who lives within us. And he is the one that we are to listen to. He is the one who will direct us. There are times when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Says, go talk to that person. Or go talk to the person over there. And we are to respond immediately to that. Most of the time we don't. Most of the time we think, well, I don't want to butt into this, or I don't want to interrupt that person, or I don't know who that person is. They'll think I'm a nut. Who cares? God is the one that we are living for, not that person. And so we need to be ready to respond when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. So then the Holy Spirit took Philip away. He transported him from one location to another. Reading in the book of Ezekiel, as we've been studying that, that happened to Ezekiel. He was taken to Jerusalem, remember? Not by an angel, but by the Spirit. Sometimes angels appear to men who are not even saved. And like I said, angels must be very persuasive when they speak. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Now this man was not saved, but he prayed to God anyway. He was very devout to God. He knew there was a God. He just did not have a personal relationship with God like each of us are supposed to have. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God, not the angel of the Lord, but the angel of God, coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius had an angel, the angel of God, come to him. Peter, in the meantime, was on a rooftop. Peter was getting ready for lunch, and he fell into a trance, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him. I think that we need to make a note about the fact that being devout is not enough to save a person. Cornelius was a devout man. He was a very religious man. He was a man who kept the law. That was not enough. They must accept the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And I don't know what that had to do with the angel that God sent. God sent his angel rather than the angel of the Lord to Cornelius. Eventually, Cornelius would have been saved, was saved. What we're establishing is that God does use angels in the New Testament, usually as messengers. And I could go on, there's lots of illustrations through the Word. As you're reading, you watch for angels, and you will see that God uses a lot of them. There's one more angel I want you to look at and see, and this involves Herod and the angel, who had particular powers, very special powers. Acts 12, verses 20 through 24. Acts 12, verses 20 through 24. Because one of the things we do, we are not afraid of angels normally, except for when they pop into our life and we realize they're an angel, but we usually don't realize that to begin with. Not that we have a chance to think about it. But Acts 12, 20 through 24. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. He fed them. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "This is the voice of God, and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Angels have powers, powers to affect us, powers to affect other people. And I don't think that I want to argue with an angel when an angel comes before me. Anybody like to argue with an angel? So God does use angels. And I'd like to just take a little bit of time tonight. We were early. I'd like to take a little bit of time tonight. Anybody here care to share their experience with an angel? Giving God the glory, of course. And if you think that you had an angel in your life, okay, Becky?
I've told you before, I was at Publix, and it was a busy day, and there was these two ladies that were counting up their groceries, and they didn't have quite enough to pay for all of them. And I heard the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, tell me, "Give them $20. I did. Because that's the first time I'd ever heard that. And I heard it so clearly, and I felt so badly, that I wish I could do it over.
Okay, I don't know that that was an angel as much as it was the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. He has done that with me too. And there are times when we need to do that. We need to look for opportunities, and he will show us and he will give us instructions when those opportunities arise.
I did it another time.
Right.
For a man that couldn't afford his prescription, and I bought it for him. But I just felt the need to do it. And he was so thankful. It blessed me more than it did him.
Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead.
had mentioned before, when my mom was in the process of passing away, the nurse who tended to us, I say tended to us because she also tended to me, mm-hmm. and I personally feel that she was an angel. She just, whatever I needed, just reassuring, anything that I needed at that time, she spoke with me, talked with me, and she told me, now I'm going to be leaving here at such and such time. And she just made sure I was reassured of everything that was going on, and just for so many things to be taken care of in the right way, she had to have been an angel, or she had to have been some type of angel.
To you, she was an angel.
She was an angel, because if you just look at the situation and what I was going through, and she just knew exactly what I needed and how things needed to be done and taken care of and stuff like that. So, yes, she was an angel.
Now, how many of you have gotten the new devotional? There's a new devotional. Okay. Is it better than everything else we've been having? Enjoying them? Okay. I also have a devotional from Dr. David
Jeremiah.
And in that devotional yesterday, it talked about a pastor in Ohio, how a car, he was on a road, traffic was heavy, car beside him swerved in his direction, and he swerved to the right to not be hit. And he hit a utility pole. And it had a transformer on it, and the transformer dropped on through the roof of his car and electrified the car. And it burst into flame. He couldn't get his seatbelt unfastened. He couldn't get out of the car. And suddenly a car pulled up alongside. Man got out, went over, opened his door, unbuckled his seatbelt, pulled him out, laid him on the ground. The guy said, I've got to be going. Went back, got in his car, and drove away.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
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 And he
survived. Nobody else saw this guy.
Nope.
That's how you know it's an angel.
It's an angel.
That's right.
And so there are many ways that angels, just like I said, on Dorchester Road, maybe they're driving 35 miles an hour. To prevent us from being hurt. But there are so many people around. We need to be aware that God keeps angels around us too. Anybody else? Well, we're very early tonight, but this is what the Lord asked me to put together about angels. And so let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we do love you, and we know you love us because you do so many things for us. But Father, there are times when you put angels in our lives. And Father, we want to thank you and show our gratitude for those times, for the things that the angels do for us, for the messages that they give us. And then, Father, also your Holy Spirit living in our heart or our soul. We want to thank you for him giving us instructions and guiding our lives. We would ask that in this week to come, you might use each one of us to reach out to someone and minister to a need that they might have. And Father, we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.